So I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
By the MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com. A lot going on today. Mr. Martin, how are you, sir?
All right, Mr. Springson.
I tell you, I guess the first story. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, driving myself home from a nice long day at work, so that's good.
Well, you know, that is one benefit of working out of your home office every day. I don't have to go very far to get where I need to get home, you know. You know, we have some sad news today in Louisville to report. Former councilwoman, Metro Councilwoman Judy Green, passed away. She suffered a massive heart attack about 1 o'clock this morning. What was weird about this whole story was the way that it was reported throughout the day. You know, a lot of people think there was a personal thing between me and Judy Green and things like that. Let me get that out of the way first. There was never anything personal between me and Judy Green on anything that I did, filing charges against her. In her official capacity, she did some illegal things. And as a citizen of these United States, a citizen of Louisville, Kentucky, and as somebody who is an activist and a watchdog that tries to make sure we get accountability from elected people, that's why I filed charges against her. It had absolutely nothing to do on a personal level. However, there's a lot of people out there right now that are trying to attack me and a couple other people for this. You can believe what you want. I don't care for the conspiracy theorists. But what was really alarming to me about this whole situation was the way that the media reported this morning. The Courier Journal put up a story this morning that said Judy Green was dead. The first story that I saw on it was at Wave 3, at their news, at Wave3.com. They reported that Councilwoman Judy Green had died. Channel 11 did the same thing. 32 did the same thing. WDRB actually was probably the most accurate in their reporting. They had reported that Judy Green was on life support and was clinically dead. As the day progressed, we have since found out that Judy Green was on life support. She was pronounced dead today at 2:15 this afternoon. They had left her on life support, awaiting her family to get there before they took her off of life support and let her pass. So Judy Green has died. You know, for anybody out there, you know, just pay attention to your local media. If you want to go visit or anything else, a funeral home, they'll have funeral arrangements probably tomorrow online for those of you who want to attend. And for the rest of you guys, I've got to be honest with you. There are some people out there right now. I'll be honest with you, Ed. I don't normally go on a personal rant or anything on a show. I mean, everybody thinks I do personal stuff. I do what I need to do to make this show evolve. But, you know, in this particular case, there's a lot of cold-hearted people out there that have really disturbed me greatly over this whole Judy Greene death. And I tell you why. You know, Judy Greene did some things wrong. There's no doubt about that. She did some illegal things. She should have been in jail. I'm one of those people who believe that. I'm one of those people who fought to have that happen. However, to sit here and say after she has died like this, to sit here and publicly put on Facebook or anything else, good riddance, this is just another scum politician that needed to die anyway, those kind of remarks, to me, that's a poor excuse for a human being who would make those kind of remarks at this time. You've got a family that's grieving the loss of a mother, a wife, a sister, and a relative. You do not need to be such cold-hearted, hateful people in that situation. And for those of you who are doing that out there, you need to really look in the mirror and ask what your legacy is going to be, because I honestly was offended by those comments, even though, you know, there's no love lost between me and Judy at all, but it was never personal. You don't want to wish this on anybody. And that those two things, the way the media handled it and the way that these commenters, these public people handle this on social media, really to me is reflective of what's wrong with today's society. What do you think about that, Ed?
Well, yeah, I think the media thing, watching that, catching updates on my phone and everything, and it was a feeding frenzy. It really was. They were moving in like vultures. You know, as early as like 10:15, they were saying Judy Greene is dead, and we talk about it all the time. It's just the media putting velocity above veracity. I guess they want to be the first. They don't have to be the most accurate. They sure as hell want to be the first. And and not only that, the other thing that got me about it is, you know, I see people commenting on Facebook, both sympathetic and a few that are out of line. And it's like, look, she's not a politician anymore. She's just a person who died, you know, regrettably. She's a mother. Her parents are still alive, but you know, she's leaving people behind. I didn't know her. I only know of her because she was a council person caught in controversy. So I choose not to comment at all. I didn't know her, but it just amazes me the way people stepping in, and it's like, gosh, you know, it's an extremely painful and private moment for people. If you don't have anything nice to say, just don't say anything at all. And I always look at it as like, look, I don't mean to be come off as this. It's not being sympathetic. I'm not being crude, but I didn't know her. I didn't know her. It's people die all the time, and it's unfortunate because you forget about it sometimes. But this is somebody's mother, and it's like, come on, people. And there's nothing to be gained from it because she's gone.
Well, and that's exactly it. I mean, you know, this isn't a situation where, you know, and I would feel this way about anybody. There's a lot of people in this world that I do have personal vendettas against, you know, only because they've decided to make it personal when they've come after me and my family. However, you know, you don't want to wish that kind of thing on anybody. And, you know, we at LouisvillePolitics.com and right here at the MVM Radio Network and the Ed Springsteen Show, we pass along our prayers and condolences to the families. You know, we went through losses. We know what that's all about. And they should not have to go through this hateful rhetoric that's going on right now. Judy Greene paid her dues. She was impeached from the Metro Council. You know, she never took responsibility, and that's her prerogative to do so or not do so. You know, but it's over. You know, it was over a year and a half ago. And for people to continue doing this and being hateful just hurts the kids, you know, and like you said, maybe her parents, but it hurts the kids, her husband, and her family, and there's no reason for that. So people, get off your high horse, because, you know, there's a lot of people out there who run their mouth. They have a lot of skeletons as well. You know, I hate to say that, but it is a pathetic example of where we're going as a society. We have more important things going on in this world today. You know, another alarming, I've seen more response, hateful response to the Judy Greene thing. Then we look at how we talked about last night with the Aaron Swartz situation. Aaron Swartz, of course, the co-founder of the RSS feeds, worked with Reddit, co-founder of Reddit, and a few other things. You know, this guy is a subject of malicious prosecution, which is one of the things that led him to suicide. You know, I want to kind of move to that for a second because it's really interesting to me that, you know, we're talking about this guy. And what people really need to understand, last night we mentioned the fact that we've seen a report about this case with Aaron Swartz about JSTOR. JSTOR is where he downloaded the website. He got all the... phone numbers are 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334 if you want to call into the show. You can also join our live chat. And if you guys are listening live in the queue, as you always are, and we appreciate that, make sure you hit the number one on your dial pad. But as we go forward with this, we're starting to look at different things going on. We have some severe problems in this country right now. One of those is the case of Aaron Swartz. This is a guy, if you want to talk about, you know, we complain about Judy Greene, you know, tipping the till and everything else. Well, let's look at the other side about that. Let's look at the other side of government abuse, because in the case of Aaron Swartz, JSTOR was a website that would allow their members, their free memberships at that, to download. If you had a free membership JSTOR, you could download a certain number of articles each and every month for your review for free. It didn't cost you anything. But or hasn't mentioned on mainstream or made this a frequent mention, is the fact that, you know, he had a JSTOR account. He worked for MIT, so he had a JSTOR account. He could download an unlimited amount of articles anytime he wanted to. Now, the way he went about it was what brought up the questions about what he was doing. How JSTOR, the website, the supposed, you know, victim of this supposed, you know, and they have since posted a statement offering condolences to his family. And in their statement, they said that Swartz was truly a gifted person who made important contributions to the development of the Internet and the web, from which we all benefit. The case is one that we ourselves had regretted being drawn into from the outset. This was a malicious prosecution by the government, the U.S. Attorney at Massachusetts, and MIT. That, to me, is more alarming than anything that Judy Greene could have possibly done. Would you agree with that?
Well, you know, I want to cover you. They also did say he had depression. We were talking about that last night. But yeah, it's, it turns out there were plea agreements, you know, that could have, you know, the prosecutors. It's interesting that I read an article. It's like these plea agreements that they're offering were all predicated on, you know, either you take this or we may very well lock you up for 30 years or 7 years or something.
Mm-hmm. And, well, that was the whole thing. He was facing 33 years and millions of dollars in fines. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, actually, one of the plea agreements had 4 months in jail, but, you know, a felony conviction and stuff. And again, it's a crime that the prosecutors were hell bent on pushing, but nobody else was.
Right.
And it was just intimidation. And there was nothing to be gained from it. He may have had to pay a fine, but there were definitely things that come with him. A convicted felon, convicted of internet crimes. They were leaning on him too hard. I mean, there were plea agreements in the talks, but they were, even the people who were quote unquote, you know, had their information lifted, they didn't see it. Everybody was like, yeah, you know, okay, so there's a plea agreement, whatever. But even the plea agreements had some teeth in it. And it's, they were just beating this kid up for no reason. You know, when all the affected parties are saying, you know, let it go, we work it out. No harm, no foul.
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, JSTOR.
The prosecutors were just hell bent on tearing him apart.
And that's exactly it. That was malicious prosecution, and that's the whole point we're getting at, you know, because the government went after him. Not JSTOR, the people that supposedly were a victim of a crime. They had no desire to go after Aaron Swartz. And the government played hardball with a 26-year-old kid genius. And the only thing I can figure is they wanted to send a message, or to be quite honest with you, to give into just a little bit of conspiracy theory here, which, you know, we never do on this show, right? But, you know, to give into just a little bit of conspiracy theory. You know, this guy was a kid genius with the web and the internet. I mean, he co-founded RSS feeds at the age of 14. He co-founded Reddit.com, a major social networking site. This guy clearly knows how to get into computers, okay? So some of the conspiracy theorists out there today that I was reading are speculating that they were trying to bring the hammer down on him so hard that the ultimate was to get him to make a deal to work for the government hacking into computers to let this all go away. Now, I'm not saying that's true or not. All I'm saying is, you know, that's one of the rumors going around today. And who knows? Who knows? Because why would the government play such part?
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springs of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
Give you anything you like. You want free college, energy, mortgages, whatever you like. You have come to the right place. Why? I'll tell you why. Who can take your money?
Who can take your money?
With a twinkle in their eye.
A twinkle in their eye.
Take it all away and give it to some other guy. The government.
The government.
The government can.
All the fees, the government.
Okay. My apologies, folks. Apparently, from what I understand, it may have been a communication problem on my side. It's really interesting to me going forward. It seems like every time we start getting into government conspiracies or things like that, all of a sudden I have problems with the system somewhere. Now, I'm not saying that's a conspiracy thing.
That's what we said off air. It's like, damn it, Ed, you went off and said the C word, and zap, there it was.
Well, I'm telling you, because it never fails, does it? I mean, anytime we start getting into some serious issues and serious conspiracy on the government, all of a sudden we lose sound somewhere, and that's the only time.
Yeah, I think you should go outside and just shoot straight up in the air and see if a drone falls down out of sound.
Well, I'm not going to do that because then they'll nail me for terroristic threatening, and they will put me in jail for about a year without charges, and I'm not going that far. It is interesting, though, nonetheless. Let's go straight to the phones, because Mayo was on hold going into break when we seemed to be having sound problems. Mayo, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay, buddy, what's going on?
Well, just kind of curious. I mean, I heard part of what you were saying earlier about Aaron Swartz, and just kind of thought it was poetic justice. Don't know who all else was involved, but Anonymous and maybe a few other people shut down the DOJ and Dagnabbit, the other website, in remembrance of Aaron Swartz, MIT, plus thousands of scholars across the world have willingly and freely donated their papers now, and I sent you an email. It has a link to it if anybody's interested, for all of their scholarly documents. So they're totally bypassing the JSTOR, and I think it's called PDF Tribute.
It is, pdftribute.com. Yes, it is. And you're right. I mean, it's fascinating because Anonymous, as everybody knows, I mean, these guys can get into anywhere, anytime. And they did. They shut down MIT's computers, the U.S. Department of Justice, your government computers, folks. They got shut down. And think about this, too. If they can get into the U.S. DOJ and shut it down, what about the records the Department of Justice has on everybody? If you can get in and shut them down, you can take information out. So, you know, so far these guys have been what most people would consider, you know, doing these things for the common good. But, you know, if they can do that, you can certainly find a criminal that can do that. So now you have to ask yourself, how secure is the government website and computer?
You know,
how secure is your information?
Speaking of conspiracies, you know, nobody knows really who Anonymous is, or, you know, just some computer aces, a whole lot of computer aces out there that can overload any system if they want. And no telling if Swartz might have been a member of it, because he was into social justice. I mean, he was brilliant. He could act. So,
or maybe the government's doing it on their own, Ed.
It's possible, just like WikiLeaks and Assange and Bradley Manning and stuff, the government could be sending, you know, maybe this overly aggressive prosecution was an indirect way of telling activist groups, you know, stand down, because we'll come after you. We may not be able to figure out who you are, but if we suspect it, maybe they suspected it. Maybe they wanted to teach somebody a lesson, and, you know, it turns out they're going to get taught the lesson. Hello.
Hello.
Well,
I may get drum struck again there, Ed.
Yeah, we own his show now.
So, welcome to the Mayo and Ed Show, or Ed Mayo Show.
Yeah, the Mayo and Ed Show. And while Ed Springsteen is going crazy, throwing headsets up on the wall and everything, trying to make them work, it does make you wonder. You know, you got a hacker out there, you got a guy who's into social justice, and you look at it just like Bradley Manning and any others, and the government goes in way too hard on them. And I think it's trying to send a message. Hey, that's what it is. It's like, guys, sending messages is not what the DOJ and not what the justice system's about anyway. It's just
Fast and Furious was supposed to send a message.
Yeah, well, Fast and Furious was a nice setup. Yeah, it's like, here, nobody will ever find out we did this. Let's send them over, and then we'll use all the bad PR and all the bloodshed to muzzle the Second Amendment a little bit. Didn't work out that way because it got out, but. You know, and, yeah, he's got the bread, you know, and that's how I'm looking at it. It's like the kid, the kid, if he'd have just been, you know, a billionaire, multimillionaire, paid his taxes, you know, but he kept people distracted and stuff on issues.
Can you guys hear me now?
Government corruption.
Yes.
Hello.
I can hear you.
Are you back with us, Ed?
Can you guys hear me now?
We can hear you.
I can hear you.
Yeah.
This is incredible.
Keep talking, Ed.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can.
Yes.
This is crazy to me, man. I tell you what.
Yeah, well, you said the C word, man.
I'm telling
it's
you, this is
point.
This is totally funny to me. I just now switched to a one-piece headset, bypassing everything I could possibly bypass. It is fascinating. Every time we get to this new, every time we start talking conspiracy theory or you start putting stuff out there like I'm doing, it's incredible. It's totally incredible.
Well,
huh?
So you forgot to tilt your tinfoil hat like 2 degrees to the left before you got on air.
Well, I just find it very, very fascinating. It's really humorous to me. You know, it's gone beyond the point of where it makes you angry anymore. Now it just has to be funny because there's just no rhyme or reason for it, and it only happens when we sit here and we start talking about government conspiracies. So I just find it fascinating. In the meantime, I kind of want to move on just a little bit past these two stories because I'll tell you why. You know, we're starting to get more and more information on what's really going on with the gun situation, what Barack Obama's plans are for this situation. And from what I understand, Barack Obama is supposed to make an announcement on his gun plans tomorrow. Have you guys seen that? Hello? Well, it looks like they're gone. I'm assuming we're still here. We're going to continue moving forward just in case. But it is interesting that we're having problems. I don't know why. I wish I did know why. But it's totally incredible to me what's really going on here. So we've dropped our callers. And it's kind of crazy. And by the way, thank you in the chat room. You're telling me that I am still on live. So this clearly may be a BTR issue for some reason with callers calling in or a Skype issue. We have had no idea on this. And our good friend Clint over at Kentucky Grassroots Radio is in a chat room. And he's telling me that they've been having problems on air this week as well. This is the first situation we run into like this week. So maybe it's a BTR situation. I'll have to get a hold of them later. Ed Martin, you're back on if you're with us.
I am, yeah.
Okay, your mic is open. I don't know if you caught any of that. Our good friend Clint Hardy over at Kentucky Grassroots Radio is listening to us live and in a chat room and says, I'm coming across fine. So apparently it's something to do with a call-in situation and a switchboard, and that's going to be a BTR problem. I will get with these guys as soon as this show is over, rest assured. In the meantime, we're kind of talking about the gun situation, what's going on. Tomorrow, President Obama is set to unveil his gun plans. And I'll be quite honest with you, it's going to be interesting how this comes out. I don't know if you paid attention to this or not, but it's supposed to include up to 19 executive actions that Obama can take on his own to attempt to limit gun violence. Is this going to be the catalyst for the people to stand up? What do you think about that, Ed?
No. I think in many cases, I think the minute it starts, you know, the NRA's got an influx of cash. And truthfully, probably even the ACLU, because they do tend to defend the Bill of Rights pretty well. There'll just be lawsuits, and there'll be expedited lawsuits, and they'll just put a hold on it.
What's fascinating is the whole thing is built on lies. It still continues to be lies. NBC actually did a report last month on this so-called assault weapon that Adam Lanza supposedly used in Sandy Hook. That's what really was the catalyst for all this. They've been trying to do this for a long time, but Sandy Hook was the last straw. You killed 26-year-olds. You can make it that what you want. The lone gunman theory, and I do say theory because they've got film of others that were dressed exactly like Lanza sneaking out the back.
You know, we're looking at these things, and I've got to be honest with you. We've got video that shows that the Bushwhacker assault rifle that they're trying to accuse Adam Lanza of using was in the trunk of his car. They took it out of his trunk after he died. We've got accounts, you know, real accounts that say there were four handguns found on Adam Lanza inside the school. There was no assault rifle anywhere that anybody has been able to prove existed except for the one in his trunk. And then we have a medical examiner who is telling everybody that every victim was shot with a high-powered assault rifle. Now, if Adam Lanza was the lone gunman and he didn't have an assault rifle anywhere on or around him inside that school, then how can we sit here and continue trying to make this case, Ed? It makes no sense to me at all. There are too many holes.
Well, personally, it doesn't really matter. I mean, tragedy is tragedy, and to use 9mm or whatever. But the thing that bothers me the most is it's typical government. They're opportunistic. They're almost morbid in the way they're opportunistic on either side. And what concerns me is when government moves and it moves. Hold on a second.
Sure. Well, what amazes me is the fact that we're being lied to on a consistent basis by our own government. They're not telling us the truth.
They have to lie. They have to embellish. It's what they don't tell us a lot of times. It's just as bad as what they try to tell us. And the thing that what worries me is just like when the government looks for the grand deal and things like that, Obamacare, when they move and they move fast and they move big, they almost always screw it up. So it's like, right now, so all of a sudden, I guess the legislative and the debating process is no good anymore. We need this, just as Joe Biden and Barack Obama and maybe a couple others in those cabinet, they all need to tell us exactly, we voted in November, that doesn't mean anything anymore. We'll just circumvent everything and we'll do it in a big way. So, yeah, that's just like, come on, guys. We've made it 200, we've been on this continent for a while. Mankind's been walking up for a while. We'll get there. Let's talk this thing through. Let's start from a cause and effect thing. Let's not get all worked up and let's limit the magazines. It's like, okay, well, you're going to limit the capacity of the magazines. Are you going to limit how many magazines somebody can buy? what are you going to do?
Well, that's exactly it.
They change out quick. That's the whole idea. And if you don't have a gun, it looks like they're going to be changing out quicker than you can do anything. So,
let's look at the reality. We've already talked about this, too, because the goal is to get the clips down to 10 rounds. But as we've pointed out many, many times, I'm a veteran. I was trained with weapons when I was in the military. I own a 9mm today that it practically goes with me everywhere. When we look at this, it doesn't matter whether there's 10 clips in that gun or 20. Because, anybody that's using a gun that has a clip can reload in less than a second without a problem. I mean, it's that quick. So you're not gaining anything by doing this other than trying to control the American people. The Washington Post has two stories out today, and I'll get to this one. This was just put in the chat room by our good friend Clint Hardy over at Kentucky Grassroots Radio. And by the way, folks, you really need to check out that show sometime. You talk about liberty, guys. But the Center for American Progress has recommended 13 new gun policies to the White House, and all of them by executive action that would not require the approval of Congress. Now, the reason this is interesting to me is because an earlier report today from the Washington Post was leaked to them, presumably from the Obama camp, because that's how it works when you get into that area. They leak information out, and they don't take any credit for who said it, just to see what the response is going to be. But according to that report, which is where I got the information a minute ago, Obama is considering up to 19 executive actions. So is he getting all of his information from a liberal think tank? Or is he using common sense, or what's going on here? Who's actually leading the way?
The thing gets me is really, sure, there's probably half a dozen common sense things we could do. That shouldn't be that difficult for anybody to agree upon. So why you got to go after, I can't think of 19 things you need to do. I mean, there needs to be you know, there needs to be licenses, and there needs to be, and there needs to be a certification course that the people understand everything from the mechanics of a firearm to ballistics to the law. I mean, my God,
the problem I've got is the legal gun owners are not the problem, Ed. The legal gun owners have never been the problem. The criminals will still continue doing this. They're still going to continue. This absolutely solves nothing. If you want to make a difference, you know, go to Kennesaw, Georgia. Go ahead and apply a federal law that applies in Kennesaw, Georgia, and require every homeowner to have a weapon in their home. Make everybody required to own a gun. That might stop the criminals. I mean, it's not going to happen.
Well,
but they might stop the criminals.
Yeah.
It works in Kennesaw.
But, you know, one of the things that gets me, too, is sometimes there's a different kind of encroachment going on here. Like, if they're going to limit the size of the magazines or the capacity of a firearm, okay, well, what do you do about the 300 million that are already out there? You know, are you at some point making law-abiding citizens who maybe in some cases – have owned guns for a long time.
Funny you should mention that.
Like a lot of the 9mm, they have 17-round clips. You know, 15, 17-round clips, they come in the handle. You know, that's the way they were designed, you know, reaching back 20 years ago. So
I can shoot 17 rounds.
Are these all of a sudden illegal, and will you be in trouble if you get caught with basically a factory gun? Not one of these big, long clips that sticks way out the handle.
Well, it's funny that you bring that up, Ed, because New York just passed new gun laws. We told everybody last night they were going to pass them, and they did. It's the strictest gun laws in the country. And you just said something about what are you going to do about the guns that are already in existence. What New York is going to do is follow the lead of Germany and Adolf Hitler. That's exactly what they've done. That's exactly what the feds want to do here. They want to turn the United States of America into Germany, and into World War II, communistic dictatorship, Adolf Hitler, United States of America. Because what New York has done, what they just proved was, in their laws, as part of their new law, those who own the semi-automatic rifles, they are now outlawed, period. You're not allowed to buy a semi-automatic rifle anymore if you live in New York, you know, like the Bushmaster or the AR-15 or any of that. And those who already own 1 million of them are now required to register those guns within 1 year. They have 1 year to register those guns. So what have we just done? We have created a national database, just like Adolf Hitler did, of where all the guns are at. So then this is the first step. The second step is to ban all the weapons, period. And then the government gets to control your life and kill you for no reason, just like we did in Auschwitz with the Jews. Now, people can get mad at me for using that as an example, but read your damn history. Check out Austria, the takeover of Austria by Germany, and you look at what's going on today. They've got to register their weapons within 1 year. Guess what, Ed? That's an owner's list. You want to know how good that worked out?
Yeah.
You know, what do you say? What do you say? Let's go to the phones. Paul Holliger, our good friend over at Stop It. How are you, sir?
Hi, Ed. And Ed, hey, listen, in an offbeat kind of way, I'm kind of glad that New York State is setting the pace on this, because I've been looking for some type of signal that we're going to end up working on a reformed coalition of states. And if New York wants to take the lead in making themselves just like all of these dictator states that past and present, let them take the lead, because they will be the inspiration for a lot of other states not to go down that road. And that, in essence, will, in fact, be the genesis of a reconfederation or a reconfiguration of the state alliances that we now have. So they are, in essence, driving the wedge that's going to tear asunder the current United States of America.
Well, I tell you, I think you're absolutely right. But, and ultimately, I think, you know, we're in a situation now, this is make or break for the USA. And I know that people will laugh at that, and you're going to have the ultra-left liberals out there screaming, you don't know what the hell you're talking about, because it's just guns. Well, it is just guns. But guns are our one defense against a tyrannical government, according to the Second Amendment. Now, I don't care about all this crap that's going on, the liberal left and the Christian right fighting and arguing over this. But the reality is this. We face religious persecution in our past. We've seen what taking all the guns away does through history. All you got to do is go back to World War II and Germany, Hitler, and Austria. And people don't want to pay attention and learn from history. This is what drives me completely nuts. You think it doesn't matter? Here's a good story for you. It came out of the Western Center for Journalism today. Remember that story a couple of weeks ago we were talking about in New York? Gannett newspaper in New York decided that they were going to do an article telling everybody where the guns were at, their addresses and everything else. Well, lo and behold, guess what? The home of a gun owner, which we told everybody was going to happen, the home of a gun owner that was published by that New York newspaper was burglarized. The state lawmakers even say that it appears the burglars used the newspaper map to get to that residence. So the criminals are out there using the map to get to the legal gun owners, folks. So now they're going to try to steal these guns. Now, in this particular case, they couldn't get the gun safe open. The guy, you know, did everything right. They couldn't get the gun safe open, and they didn't get away with any guns. But here's the flip side of that. This is what's interesting to me. We had another story come out today. Bob Unruh over at the WND, I believe it was, World News Daily. And here's a fascinating story for you. You guys remember Project Veritas? Project Veritas founder James O'Keefe, he's the one who went out and exposed Acorn. He's the one who went out and keeps exposing all this illegal voting going on and everything else. Well, he decided to flip the table on this New York newspaper and these journalists. So he did his undercover video investigation against these guys. And what they did was they posed as members of a gun control group, and they asked these newspaper guys if they could post an anti-gun sign on their lawn to show that they supported a gun ban. Well, needless to say, the doors were slammed in their faces. None of these reporters would allow them to do that. The doors were slammed in their faces. They weren't even allowed on the property. By the time they got to the end of their list, you know, there were police officers at the doors when they were going to them, refused to let them up. And, oh, by the way, just for those of you who don't know, what's really fascinating here is these places were the most heavily armed and protected houses going. The most heavily armed. So these journalists who are out there trying to nail everybody for being a gun owner don't have a problem having people on their property being armed to protect them. How hypocritical is that?
Oh, well, I mean, that's a hallmark of any extreme in any political spectrum is hypocrisy. Because it's always we're smarter, we're going to do it. You know, we'll tell you how to do it, but we can be trusted to do it otherwise. But, you know, I kind of agree with Paul. I'm not sure if the union is going to be torn apart, but not unlike Chicago. I think it's going to be an interesting experiment to watch. To see what happens with crime. And it's going to be in a state that has diversity, has large cities, but has rural areas too. So I mean, you know what? Turn on Discovery Channel and check out Swamp People, you know, and stuff like that. It's like, no, we're still in the South. They're not even talking about that crap down here.
Once the feds take over. Kentucky, you know, we can talk all we want to talk, but the states are ultimately going to give in to whatever the feds want because the states rely on federal money. And at the end of the day, that's what it all comes down to. Let's go to the phones. Mayo, you're back on. Let's try this again.
Yeah, I think you had that drone follow me.
No, actually, from what I found out, it was Clint Hardy, a friend of ours, friend of the show, over at Kentucky Grassroots Radio, had just texted inside the chat room and said that they've been having problems this week, too. So it appears to be either a Skype problem or a BTR radio problem. And Ed Martin just dropped, so who knows? I'm going to get with these guys as soon as this show is over and find out, though.
I'm clear.
Oh, that was Paul. I'm sorry. That was Paul Holliger that dropped.
Okay.
I apologize. I got your numbers confused. But anyway, Mayo, what's your comment, man?
I mean, you know, just saying, you know, earlier about the you may have dropped or didn't know if you could hear Ed and I, we were talking, but, you know, the poetic justice with, you know, the DOJ and that.
getting shut down in MIT, Aaron Schwartz. And second thing, kind of locally, I didn't know if you mentioned it at the beginning of the show. I kind of missed connection about Judy Greene's passing. You know, kind of like Mark Twain said, you know, I've never wished any, you know, death to anyone, but I can't say as I haven't read some obituaries with great glee.
Well, you know, I'll let you keep that opinion because I'm not I don't feel that way. But anyway, you know, we did talk about Judy Greene's passing at the top of the show. But right, you know, right now the thing that's really concerning me is the New York gun laws. Now you're going to have to register your weapons in New York, so everybody's going to know where your guns are. We're talking now about how, you know, the New York newspaper who decided to publish the addresses of everybody that owned a gun in this particular area. Now these people are being burglarized trying to get their guns, and yet when you go to these same journalists, they don't want you to put a sign in their yard that says their home is gun free, you know, and they actually have armed people protecting them and their property. So the hypocrisy here is what drives me completely nuts. I mean, you know, the FBI police, according to James O'Keefe, the owner of Project Veritas, in this article, he goes on to say that the FBI police confronted their reporters within minutes of knocking on the attorney general's home to ask him, because the attorney general in New York is behind a gun ban. You know, so, you know, and of course, you know, Eric Holder is safe and sound. He's got armed protection, not like we do, you know. So we've got to look at this hypocrisy. So these guys can get away with anything they want to get away with, you know, as long as they've got arms, nobody else should. I've got a problem with that, guys. That's not America.
Well, they're sitting here touting this bill, and half of it just came out today, and they haven't even read it.
Well, come on. Do they ever read the bills? As Rand Paul pointed out just last week on the budget deal or whatever the heck, you know, the fiscal cliff deal. I mean, they didn't read any of that. They had 3 minutes to read it and vote on it. And they didn't, you know, obviously they couldn't get that done. They got it at 136 and voted at 139 on something that's that important to the United States. So we're used to them not reading. If these congressmen would have read Obamacare, even a Democrat could not have went through and approved of Obamacare. There's no way. How do you approve of something like that? You know, you look at what's going on. People are just now getting their first paychecks of the year, you know, and they're starting to see the money that they've lost thanks to the new taxes. You know, so, I'm puzzled here. What is it going to take to wake these people up, get them off their ass, and get them involved? I don't get it.
Well, you know, we may just have to go into a gradual decline before it happens. You know, the youth can check out. I've always said that's going to happen. But, you know, again, I think the New York thing is going to be very interesting. I mean, it's New York. You know, they're special. They're up there doing what they do. I think like Chicago, it's going to be a very, very interesting. It's going to be a control study. It's like, all right, so you've got these. Let's see how many gun owners comply. Let's see how many that don't comply, because you know they're not all going to comply. Let's see what you can really do to them. You know, once they assert their Supreme Court verified and reaffirmed right to own firearms, you know, what's going to happen? And then, you know, then it might set against the right to privacy and things. It'll be interesting. And then, of course, it'll be interesting to see what happens with things like the crime rates and the violence rates and rapes and murders and, you know, you name it. It's good. It should be interesting to watch. I'm glad it's not happening here, but it will be interesting to watch.
Well, see, I don't find it interesting because I think we're already close to rock bottom at this point. I really, really do. I think that we have got more on our plate than anything we could possibly handle. I mean, the debt today alone, if you look at Obama wants to raise the debt ceiling so he can borrow more money and spend more money. And he keeps trying to tell the whole world that all the talk right now is about paying the existing debt. That's a lie. We've already identified trillions of dollars of new spending that has to be met when you get into Obamacare and everything else. New spending is not existing debt, folks. New spending is new borrowing. New borrowing is the problem. That's what the congressional Republicans are trying to stop. They're trying to get some kind of balanced budget here. Now, in their defense, the Uniparty is alive and well. If the Republicans really cared about a balanced budget, they would have went nuts for the 8 years that George Bush was in office after Bill Clinton left. They wouldn't have went crazy. And Barack Obama himself in 2009 voted against raising the daggone deficit, voted against raising the spending cap because he said it was a failure on leadership's part. But now it's okay. Obama continues talking about how he's a bipartisan guy. That's a lie. He's flat out now trying to threaten the American people, our veterans and our old people, saying that if he doesn't get what he wants, then they're going to have to stop the checks for the veterans and stop the checks for retirees unless the GOP raises the White House's $16.4 trillion credit limit. Now, if we're talking about existing debt, like he's saying out of one side of his mouth, then why do we need to raise the credit limits? The only way you raise credit limits is to do what, Ed? Borrow more money.
Yeah, you borrow more money and accumulate more debt. Oh, yeah.
You know, so why is it that average people, common sense people, I'm not an accountant. I never claimed to be one, you know, but I understand that. 1 + 1 = 2. 2 + 2 = 7. I get that. Basic fundamental math. We were taught in grade school. Why is it that Barack Obama and his minions don't get that?
Well, it's not just him. It's most politicians. The thing is they do. They need to approve the debt ceiling raise, and they also need to approve some real cuts. They need to do them both, because you know, to put it in household context, if your household's in debt and you have bills, you know, you can't let the water get turned off. You can't let the essentials. You can't not buy food. So, you know, you may need to borrow a little more money to cover the short term. But, yes, for the long term, you do need to make real and meaningful changes, because that's how you got in this problem to begin with. And that's the problem. These guys, they only see half the equation, because they don't want to piss anybody off. They want to keep getting reelected. They see the part, well, let's keep the lights on. Let's keep the food on the table. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, okay, well, next week, you know, like old Wimpy on the old Popeyes, they'll gladly get into this Tuesday or whenever. they'll deal with the cuts later. We should trust them on that, you know, and they never do. The Republicans, they're doing a little bit better job at it than the Democrats, but when you start talking cuts, you know, they want to cut programs that are not traditionally their constituency, but they don't go after military spending, and they don't go after subsidies for some big businesses. It's like both sides are just making sure that the other guy's ox gets gored and their constituents' oxes don't get gored, and it's all based on, you know, two-part promises. I mean, look, if you're going to do it, it needs to be a combination. It's like, okay, we can raise the debt ceiling, but we are going to cut spending, and we're not going to do it next week. But tell you what, matter of fact, an hour before we raise the debt ceiling, let's approve cut spending first.
Well, you know, that sounds good. That sounds good, but we'll never get there. I mean, even Obama has went even further. I mean, accusing the GOP politicians of trying to starve kids. I mean, how pathetic is that? We continually talk about this kind of political maneuvering, and this is a president who said he was going to be bipartisan. This is not a finger-pointing president, this kind of stuff. You know, and on top of that, folks, this is what you really need to pay attention to.
One of the talking points is we need to have an adult conversation about this. You know, we need to have an adult discussion. Oh, by the way, you're going to start kids.
Big time. And, you know, when he does that kind of stuff, What does that tell you? And then we got to look at the reality here, folks. For you guys who aren't paying attention to what's really going on and why this national debt is so important, look in the mirror. Each and every one of you guys, look in the mirror. Because as it stands right now, before they do anything with this, the debt is going to reach at least $20 trillion by the time Barack Obama leaves office in 4 more years. That's assuming he does leave, and I'll explain that in a minute. But it's slated to reach $20 trillion by the end of his second term. When we look at that and put a real dollar number on it, I want you adults that are listening to this show, all right, to think about this. $20 trillion debt equates to roughly $125,000 debt per working age American. Not per worker, because there's not enough of those. There's not enough jobs. Per working age American. That includes those who are already unemployed. So if you're responsible for $125,000 of that debt and your next door neighbor is unemployed, your obligation just ran to $250,000 because he can't pay his. You see what I'm saying? This is alarming. How many people in this country make $125,000? You know, and they're responsible for this huge debt. That's the seriousness of this situation. And nobody in mainstream America, you know, wants to sit here. No liberal wants to sit here and actually pay attention to that and say, well, okay. And the fact that Obama is sitting here saying that the GOP wants to starve kids, I mean, come on. That is the most pathetic excuse for a leader I've ever heard in my life. It really is. I've got some problems with this, Ed, and I don't see those problems going away. You know, we're not going to see the spending cuts that we continue talking about. Last night we reported, and it's still true today, that the House, the U.S. House, is contemplating going ahead and increasing the debt ceiling and giving Obama what he wants without any spending cuts required. Because they don't want to be blamed. They're chicken shits that don't want to be blamed for everything going completely bust. They don't want the responsibility. So they're going to give him what he wants without holding firm to what's right for America. When do they get things right for America? I'm tired of waiting. I really am. And I think most common sense Americans are too, but they're too scared to do anything about it. Comments?
Yeah, well, I think, again, the thing that gets me about politics is the lack of planning. I mean, we've known this has been coming. Well, we've known it's coming from George W. Bush. We've known it, and the debt's been going up, but nobody ever ponies up real cuts. And as I said, the Republicans are talking a good talk until you come to their pet projects. And I think at some point the Republicans need to just play a little one-upmanship and say, all right, you know what? All right, we're going to close the military bases. We're going to do this, you know, and then play a little poker and look at them and say, you're going to call me on that? You know, you're going to raise me on that now that we've got the ball rolling? But nobody wants to get the ball rolling. Nobody wants to make the first move. And you know, it's just politics. Everybody is looking to, you know, when the Republicans say, well, we'll cut. And say, what are you going to cut? Oh, NPR. Big deal. You know, the words pissing in the ocean mean anything to you?
Really?
I mean, it's nothing. It's like, come on, guys, get serious about it. Both parties, get serious about it. Put some cuts up there. You know, everybody says, oh, we need to share the pain. But nobody ever wants to share the pain. Nobody ever wants to make the first move. Everybody wants to, you know, they get in a line. Everybody wants to be first when it comes to spending the money, but nobody wants to be first. And the only way you're ever going to cut a liberal program or a social, you know, something that the Democrats are fond of is if the Republicans can figure out a way to cut it. The Democrats will never cut their own programs. And it's just, there's no sacrifice. There's nobody up there. It's a big popularity contest. It's all theater. There's nobody up there that's going to cut something that's going to cost them a vote, no matter whether it's right for the country or not. The politicians aren't going to do it on a personal level, and the parties aren't going to let, you know, they're going to do everything they can to stop a politician from doing something that's good for the common good, because they, you know, John Boehner doesn't want to lose his majority. My God, what would happen if a couple of senators or congressmen from a state that maybe had a base closure, they said, you know what? Yeah, we need to spread the pain around, and all of a sudden, you know, a groundswell, the rubber hits the road, and this guy, you know, that seat's lost to a Democrat, and John Boehner.
As far as I'm concerned, the rubber has already hit the road.
Power consolidation, and nobody's doing what needs to be done. Yes,
and that's because the Uniparty is alive and well, Ed. We know that. I mean, the Uniparty is alive and well. The Republicans won't do what needs to be done because they're scared of losing some sort of control that they've got. The Democrats won't do what needs to be done because they're scared of not doing their job right. And there's an interesting article out by Thomas Sowell today, and it talks about liberalism versus blacks. And I think that that's something people should read, too. The liberal agenda has failed America, period. And the Republicans don't care. Because the Republicans only care about having somebody to blame. They don't care about fixing the problems. We got to wrap, Ed. The time has flown by. Give me some final thoughts, my friend.
Well, you know, when it comes to the debt ceiling, it's theater. Just remember, it's just like a it's just like an action movie or anything. You know, everything, the plot drags on. And it all comes to a big head, and it'll all be finished up right in the last 5 minutes of the movie, you know, the big shootout. That's all these guys are doing. They're just building character. They're wasting time. We all know how it's going to end. The Republicans are going to cave in. Well, one of two ways. Either going to cave in, or then they're going to let the debt lapse, and the stock markets are going to go crazy. Which are their constituents? That's their voice, you know. It's going to go down, and they're going to give in, and we're going to get the same crap that we've gotten since Bill Clinton's last year in office. We're going to get a bunch of people saying, "All right, well, we'll spend a little more money, and we promise we'll do the right thing later on." And then you hear all the click words, shared sacrifice, you know, everybody pulling their way, blah, 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 and nobody will do it. And again, it'll fade. Once it gets fading far enough into the rearview mirror, they'll just stop talking about it.
Well, I tell you, you know, the sad reality is that the only shared burden here is the people on the street are sharing all the burden. Because the leadership doesn't understand what sharing burden means. They have no clue, no concept, or no desire to fix the problems that face America. It's party first, always. It's keep our power, always. The Democrats want to seize all the power so they can give everything away and turn us into a third world country. There's not a doubt in my mind about that. That's the liberal agenda. The conservatives are so scared to actually lead and take a principled stance and stand on values because they're scared they may have to do without something as elected leaders. And that's the problem in America. One is scared to lead, and one wants to take you down a road we can never recover from. The reality is, right now, America is in some serious trouble. Serious trouble. And we're continuing to be taken down a path of least resistance. They want to take our money. They want to take our guns so they can continue taking our money. That's just the way it is. And for everybody who gets offended, I'm sorry once again, but hail Hitler. Because that's exactly what America is coming to. You need to research your history. Go back to Nazi Germany and go back to Austria. That was the blueprint for what we are doing right now. It is insulting as an American to sit here and have to deal with this. We've got a government out of control with malicious prosecution. You want proof? Check out Aaron Swartz. You've got former U.S. Attorney General Edwin Meese III. He was the former U.S. Attorney General under President Reagan. This guy has knowledge. He went public on Newsmax TV and said that Obama could easily be impeached if he went ahead and bypassed Congress to enact gun control legislation by any executive order. What did we find out today from the Washington Post? President Barack Obama is considering up to 19 executive actions he can take on his own to bypass Congress. Will Congress do anything about it? No, they won't. They don't care about you and me. Senate Democrats yesterday told the Congress, or told the president, please use the 14th Amendment for the debt ceiling talks. Please use the 14th Amendment. You can do that. Bypass us. We don't care. That's an insult to every American who believes in freedom and liberty in this country. We have got to get these people under control. It is time to take back your government. This is a government that exists based on of the people, by the people, and for the people. Not of the politician, by the politician, and for the politician. We have to get our thinking straight in this country, and we have to make a difference, and we have to do it now. On a personal note to close the show, for the family of Judy Green, you know, regardless of anything that was done professionally, Judy made some mistakes and she was held accountable for them. That does not ease the pain of what you're going through. On behalf of myself, Ed Springsteen, this show, and LouisvillePolitics.com and the whole MVM Media family, our sincere condolences to you and your family for what you're going through. Judy Green was 57 years old and left behind 13 children. Now, that's a lot to overcome for a family. So our prayers and condolences are with you all. That's it for tonight, folks. Tomorrow night, Dale the Truth will join us, of course, at 7 o'clock live. You can rest assured Dale the Truth is going to have a lot to say on this subject, on a whole lot of subjects. And Liberty Unbridled at 7 o'clock with our good friend Kim Ullman. Check out the show from last night. Don't forget to check out LouisvillePolitics.com. Join our RSS feed. all of the information, anything you want, you can get right there on anything we do on this show. You can check us out on Stitcher.com, and you can check us out right here at BTR. That's a wrap for tonight. Mr. Martin, we will see you, I guess, next week, correct?
Unless I get off work early.
All right, buddy. Well, you have a good week. Thanks for listening, folks.
Right.
Always a pleasure. Take care. Have a great night.